Well, the other announcement I want to bring to your attention concerns next Sunday and is a very special Sunday in the life of the church, our missions ministry Sunday. And we will only have one worship service next week, but if you'll look on the back of your bulletin, you'll see the information there. I won't read it all to you. You can read. But just to point out a few things, we're going to have a special called business meeting at 9 o'clock next Sunday. And you can see on here, it has to do with a recommendation coming from the deacons. And they have been in consultation with the missions committee and the finance committee concerning the gift that had been given through the Raymond Howell estate. There's the belief that from this that 10% of this needs to go to mission causes. In other words, it's a way of our church of tithing for the wonderful gift that we have received. And you can see there that the recommendation of how 10% of that will be divided up among different areas of mission concern that we have as a church. And so we wanted to come together, and there was a need to go ahead and distribute some of these funds very soon. And so we wanted to go ahead and let you know this morning about the called business meeting. It'll be at 9 o'clock then next Sunday morning here in the worship center. Immediately following that, we have Sunday school starting at 9:30 because we only have one worship service next week, and that'll be at 10:30, and it will be our missions ministry emphasis worship service next Sunday. So after that, we have lunch and then the ministry fair. So a big Sunday next week, but wanted to bring that to your attention so you know about the business meeting that's coming at 9, then 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 our worship service together. And I hope you'll be a part of this this time we have together next week as we think about missions and reaching others for Jesus Christ in this way. Well, let's go now to the Lord in prayer before we see what the Lord has to say to us today in His Word. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You that we can come together as the body of believers from many different ways, many different directions, many different past, but yet we all have the common bond through Jesus Christ. My prayer now, Lord, is that Your Holy Spirit will just touch each heart, touch my heart, speak through me, touch each heart present, guide us and lead us in a very important issue in the life, of the everyday life of believers in Jesus Christ and how we should live. Lord, move us now in Your way. May Your will be done. May You be honored and glorified. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, in some cities, they have what's called leash laws, and my understanding is that Bel Air has leash laws. Basically, your dog is not allowed to roam freely wherever they desire, but they must be on a leash. With that leash, their freedom is limited. And if the dog tries to run or bolt from you, the dog can be kind of yanked back, reminded that they have limitations to their freedom. Well, many Christians live on a leash. The leash may be made up of anger, bitterness, resentment, possibly revenge. Sadly, it's a self-imposed leash that they're on. Something occurred, maybe to initiate it. These raw feelings that we sometimes have, maybe it was family related, job related, someone disappointed you, or something else. But far too many choose to remain leashed by these powerful and ugly emotions. Well, this morning is the last sermon in our series of Sandbox Fellowship. And as we've looked so far about this journey of how we are to treat each other in Jesus Christ, and this morning I want us to think about breaking the leash. The Bible is very, very clear. It says, forgive one another. Forgive one another. But instead, many of us wear a leash of unforgiveness. I know that's not really a word, but we live lives of not forgiving each other. And it might go days, it might go months, it might go years, it might go decades, could go more The mantra is, to err is human, to forgive, well, that just ain't going to happen. Breaking free of the leash, though, is important, but it's not easy. As we're reminded in the Lord's Supper, the cross is the power of God granting us forgiveness of sin. And then the resurrection reminds us of God's power again, that He is who He says He is, and we are forgiven. The cross and resurrection are all about breaking the leash. The cross and resurrection are about the forgiveness from God, but it's also about the forgiveness that we should have for each other. And so I want us to take the next few moments and discover the importance of breaking that leash. Let's start, though, with two types of forgiveness. Two types of forgiveness. When Jesus proved on Resurrection Sunday that He is God's Son and that the cross has eternal significance for you and me, it beat down the door of two types of forgiveness for this life. The first one can be known as judicial forgiveness. Judicial. When we understand our sinfulness, when we ask Jesus Christ into our hearts, and we make that choice to be a follower of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven by God. Every sin we've committed, every sin we will commit, are forgiven at that moment. We have an eternal home with God because Jesus paid the price for our sins. The Bible uses a fancy term called justification. Justification can be defined as just as if I have never sinned. Justify, just as if I have never sinned. When you choose to follow Jesus, God forgives you completely without hesitation, and He now sees you as if you have never sinned. You can think of it this way. When God looks at you, He's looking at you through Jesus-colored glasses. He's looking at you through the lens of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. He now sees you as if you have never sinned. If you were serious in your commitment to Jesus, you have judicial forgiveness for eternity. The question is whether you were genuine in your commitment or not. But there's another type of forgiveness, the one that we're going to spend most of our time on. It is that forgiveness of forgiving one another. That forgiveness is called relational forgiveness. Relational. In the Lord's Prayer, often called also the model prayer because it was Jesus modeling to His disciples how to pray, Jesus made what can be seen as a very confusing comment, especially when we think of judicial versus relational forgiveness. Matthew 6, verse 12. The middle of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Now the thing is, right after the model prayer, Jesus restates this one line. He restates this line in even a stronger fashion, which should be a sign for us to pay very close attention. Verse 14. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Jesus gives us here a great big if-then statement. If you forgive, then God will forgive. So does that mean if, say, I don't forgive someone before I die, I get in a car accident or something, and I don't forgive someone, that God will take back my salvation because I didn't forgive them before I died? Well, the answer is no. and the difference lies between judicial and relational forgiveness. God's judicial forgiveness is complete. It covers every part of my sin, every sin we commit or will commit. But God did not take you home as soon as you became his follower. He did not bring you home at that point. Instead, he left you here for a purpose. He wants you to relate. He wants you to have a relationship with others in this lifetime. He wants you to have a relationship with him in this lifetime. Where judicial forgiveness is that period called justification in the eyes of the Lord, just as if I have never sinned, relational forgiveness happens in this period of life we call sanctification. That's another biblical fancy word to just mean growing up in Jesus. It's our time where we grow up in him. We become more and more like Jesus Christ. And in this period, we relate to other Christians around us, those same Christians that we'll be spending eternity with. Our relationship with others affects our earthly relationship with God. Our relationship with others affects our earthly relationship to God. Listen to this again in another way. How you treat your fellow believer affects your relationship with God on this earth. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and then he said, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And he was referencing in here relational forgiveness. This was not a prayer about eternal forgiveness, but forgiveness that opens doors to better relationships with humans and with God on this planet, in this life. Because see, it leads to this point. Forgiveness moves God. Forgiveness moves God. Let me give you an illustration. Many of you in this room today are married. Okay? You made a legal contract to get married. I know we don't want to think of it in that way, but it was a legal contract. You went out and you purchased a license. And then you either stood before a minister or before some type of other official. In the eyes of the law, you have a judicial or legally binding marriage. But maybe right now, you and your spouse are at odds with each other. Maybe you're in the midst of an argument. Maybe on the way to church this morning, there were a few words that were said, and the relationship is strained. The relationship is hurting. Maybe you're not even talking to each other. Oh, you're still married. You're still married, but your relationship feels severed and in anguish. The relationship between followers of Jesus Christ and the church is often called a marriage. Jesus is the groom, the church is the bride. And when you commit to Jesus, God made a judicial contract with you that cannot be broken, a heavenly marriage contract. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes we hurt each other because we're family. Each side wants their way. We get mad or upset. And there's distance in our relationship. We're still part of God's family through our judicial forgiveness, but relationally, we broke down. When we refuse to forgive someone else, we put separation in that relationship. God says, when you place that separation between you and your brother or sister in Christ, you have also separated yourself from me. Now, I've said over and over in this series that it's about horizontal and vertical relationship. And God is saying, when you have separated or severed or harmed this relationship this way, the horizontal between you and me and between each other, when you've harmed this relationship, you also harm this relationship. They're tied that closely together. Your judicial, eternal forgiveness is never severed, but right now you have a relational forgiveness problem because you won't give relational forgiveness. God speaking, He's saying, we are distanced in our communication because you're distanced from your fellow Christian. In God's infinite wisdom, He knows when our relationship to each other is in disarray, that it also damages this relationship with Him. You cannot have an open and honest relationship with God as long as you hold back forgiveness from someone else. When Jesus taught the model prayer, He spoke of our relationships here on this earth. He was not speaking of the eternal forgiveness. If we cannot forgive each other in this life, our relationship with God in this life is also damaged, is also severed. This is what is meant, that is what is meant by forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. But when we offer forgiveness to others, it moves the heart of God. When we offer forgiveness to others, it heals our relationship with God. When we offer forgiveness to others, we grow to look more and more like Jesus Christ because we're in that period of sanctification where we are to grow to be more like Him. And when we choose not to forgive, we shut God's movement out of our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're basically throwing water on the flame of the Holy Spirit when we choose not to forgive. But sometimes forgiveness is far from easy, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to give that forgiveness. Someone might be sitting here today saying, you just don't know what I've been through. You don't know what so-and-so did to me. And you're right. I don't know. I don't know your pain. But this I do know, that as long as you withhold forgiveness in this lifetime, you're damaging your own life and you're damaging your relationship with the Heavenly Father. Because see, that's the next point. Forgiveness removes poison. A person who clings to a lack of forgiveness is poisoning their own life. Oh, we have this false idea. We say, if I withhold forgiveness, I'm teaching that other person a lesson. That's what we think. But let's face it, quite often the other person doesn't even care. Often they don't even know or understand that they maybe even have hurt you. So you carry on your life. You let it build up inside. Maybe it moves to bitterness or even depression. The Bible warns us about the root of bitterness, and it's a nasty root. It can entangle our lives. It can strangle our relationships. And it builds and it becomes something very ugly within us, this root of bitterness. You think you're holding back. Forgiveness is your revenge. But in reality, you're poisoning your own life. You're hurting yourself because you won't forgive. That poison also poisons our walk in Jesus Christ. And here's what you must understand. Forgiveness is a decision. It's a decision. See, we want to make it an emotion. We tie forgiveness and say it's an emotion, and it's not. It's a decision. We think it's an emotion because it works on our emotions. We get charged up when someone hurts us, and we let our emotions win the day. But forgiveness is a decision, not an emotion. Colossians 3, 12 and 13 says, put on then. That's how it starts. Put on then. That's actually a picture, one of those Greek word pictures. It's like putting on a coat. Paul, when he wrote this, is saying, you put this thing on, okay? Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. He says, put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And then he says, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Forgiveness does not mean, okay, let's make sure we got this straight. Forgiveness does not mean that you approve what the person did. Forgiveness does not mean that you excuse what the person did. It doesn't mean you overlook what they did, the wrong. And it doesn't mean that you just pretend that you're not hurt. That's not forgiveness. Likewise, it doesn't mean that you restore a full trusting relationship either. If someone has abused you physically, mentally, emotionally, or some other way, you don't offer instant trust. Building trust can be a long road, but you do offer instant forgiveness. Biblical forgiveness is the decision to no longer credit an offense against the offender. To no longer credit an offense against the offender. It involves releasing someone from the debt that they owe and the blame that they deserve. It includes choosing not to take vengeance, not to take retribution. Forgiveness is a decision you make. It's not about how you feel, but about your choice to no longer credit an offense or a blame against the offender. Forgiveness is a decision, but it's not necessarily full restoration of that person in your life. Maybe the person never asked for forgiveness. Maybe they don't even know they offended you. Maybe that person has moved away and you're still holding that inside. Or even further, maybe that person has died and you still have those thoughts of what they did to you. I choose to forgive because I want to live like Jesus and not waste this life holding grudges, not waste this life being bitter. You forgive and God's heart is moved. Because we also know this from Scripture. Forgiveness moves mountains. Forgiveness moves mountains. Jesus tied together this whole thing of relationship and forgiveness and the power of prayer in Mark 11, 20, beginning with verse 22. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. And then he goes into a therefore. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. When our relationship with each other involves forgiveness, it opens up doors of an entirely different walk with Jesus Christ. Our prayer life will change when we forgive others. Our worship will change when we forgive others. Our everyday experience will change because we made the decision to forgive. And God will move mountains in your life because our relationship with Him will grow. In one of Jesus' resurrection appearances, He had that encounter with Peter, and I know most of you know the story. Peter denied Jesus three times when he was arrested. But we have this scene on the beach. Jesus talking to Peter, seeing that Peter is in pain himself, saying to Peter three times, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? And each time Peter says, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I believe that was a turning point for Peter and his ultimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe Peter found a healing because Jesus personally offered forgiveness when Peter didn't even ask for it. And that relational forgiveness, I believe, carried Peter forward in his earthly ministry. We celebrate the forgiveness we receive because of the cross. But I think this morning there are some that need to break the leash. Anger, bitterness towards someone is harming not just your relationship with the other person, but with God. You find yourself stewing sometimes over how someone hurt you, and you don't need to live that way. You don't need to live that way. You can break the leash. You can make the decision today to give someone forgiveness. Oh, you're not ready to fully trust them yet. I got that. I understand that. But you decide to forgive the offender and no longer hold that charge against them. And you're not only creating healing in your life, but you're healing the relationship with your Heavenly Father. But see, I believe there's also someone here this morning that needs judicial forgiveness. You've never come to God, really. You've never admitted to Him, really, that you're a sinner. You've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and to come into your heart, and you never made, really, that choice to choose to follow Jesus Christ. And today's the day to find eternal forgiveness with God and start that life brand new, because Jesus Christ is the risen Savior. As we come to our time of invitation, I'm not sure what God has placed upon your heart. And I understand there are some things that people have done to you maybe in your life that's very hard to forgive. But God forgave you. And our sins are awful in His eyes. And He forgave us. And you need to make the decision today to forgive others. And if you're not quite there, at least be in prayer with the Lord. Lord, give me the strength to make that decision. I'm not asking you to fully trust them. That's got to build over time. But you can at least forgive the offender today. And as I said, maybe you've never asked Christ in your heart, and today's the day. Put that stake in the ground and say, I want to ask Jesus in my heart and live for Him. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Father God, and lead us now in this time of decision making. And Lord, I can't help but think that there is someone here who has been living with bitterness in their life for a while, and it maybe just flares up now and then because, Father, there's someone that has hurt them and they're having a hard time forgiving. I pray that you will give them strength right now. You'll give them strength to be forgiving people and allow your love to just flow through them because you have forgiven us. Lord, for someone here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, has never made that commitment, that you will also give them the strength to do that today. Lord, watch over us now. May your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together.